This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham, getting set for another week's golfing action. The feature event being the WGC tournaments, the Cadillac Championship, and we're going to take a look at the Puerto Rico Open as well. But before that, as ever, we are going to reflect on what happened last week. And Russell Henley bounced back to form in a big way, Mr. Grenham, in the event at PGA National. And here's what you said about Mr. Henley last week.
Russell Henley is a massive price. Played quite well here last year. He's gone completely off the boil, but
he's a player we've raved about on numerous podcasts.
Yeah, we have. But he needs to play much better.
He does.
But if he's going to play better, this is the kind of place that it could bring him back to form.
And it did. That's exactly what happened. He played a lot better last week.
A lot better, didn't he, Dave? It's I backed him, I have to say, but it was slightly frustrating. I've never been so mixed emotions about a winner, because I've had quite decent bets on him in some events in the last few months, and I didn't have anywhere near as much on this time, and didn't tip him, so we kind of missed the boat. So it was my bank balance was better, but it didn't feel like a celebration.
Yeah, slightly frustrating.
Yeah, slightly frustrating, because I nearly picked him on the podcast last week, and we like to pick winners on here. So, and he was, I think, 250-1 when we did the podcast.
Yeah.
So to not pick him just seems like a bit of a bad mistake, really, at that price. You know, something on him. I thought he was slightly lucky to win, if I'm being honest. He chipped in, was it twice?
Yeah, he chipped in twice in the week. I think it was 14, the final
and
day.
An eagle from the middle of the fairway as well, and other people collapsed, didn't they?
They did. The notable collapse on Sunday was Rory McIlroy's, who had the tournament in the grasp of his hand, didn't he, really? And it was unfortunate for McIlroy that his swing capitulated in the final round, especially on that back nine, really.
Yeah, he wasn't the only one, though, Dave, was he? I think it played very tough on that final day, and I wouldn't read too much into it. I think I tweeted he was hopeless on the final night, and I don't think I was too far wrong there with McIlroy. He was, what, at 1.13 under, was he, or something like that? Mm. You know, he really, just a bit of par golf, and the tournament was his for the taking. But he made some very bad mistakes and hit that brilliant shot on 18, and everyone thought, oh, that's it, he's going to win. But didn't quite bring home the bacon, did he? So it was, for McIlroy backers, it was a very frustrating experience.
It was indeed. And four-way playoff in the end, with Russell Henley getting the better of Ryan Palmer, Russell Knox and Rory McIlroy. The other event went to Ross Fisher, the Schwein Open. Ross Fisher won that event. It is a fantastic golf course, though, isn't it, PGA National? It does throw up a number of exciting finishes. The winning total, 8 under par, and we've commented in the past podcasts about wanting to see tough venues.
Yeah, it makes it much more interesting. It was a fascinating final night. Ryan Palmer did well to get in there. Probably he'll be kicking himself, though. He could have won, couldn't he? And who else was in the thing? Russell Knox, he played well,
Russell,
didn't
Knox.
He? So, but Rory will be absolutely kicking himself. Palmer will be wishing he held that putt. Henley was a mixed emotions win, but I'm really annoyed I didn't tip him on the podcast. But he's a good player, he's a really good player, and Knox is one to have on your side as well, I think.
Indeed. At least Rory McIlroy's,
as they say, rising. So I think all those players will win this year, you know.
At least Rory McIlroy has the opportunity to bounce back quickly, because he's in the field for this week.
So. He didn't lose the final round of the Open or the Masters, did he?
No.
He'll get over not winning the Honda Classic.
He will.
Fairly quickly, I would think. I wouldn't worry about it one iota, and anyone who thinks he's a bottler doesn't understand golf betting.
6-1 Rory McIlroy is to win this week's championship, the WGC Cadillac. Adam Scott 12-1, Dustin Johnson and Tiger Woods both 14s, Sergio Garcia 16-1, Bubba Watson is 20s along with Jason Day, Jordan Spieth is 22-1, Matt Kuchar and Phil Mickelson both 25s, and it's 28s bar. Recording this around about 1 o'clock on Wednesday, and still no definitive word as to whether Tiger Woods is going to take up his engagement.
I've just checked, Dave. He hasn't texted me, so I don't know. Maybe he's not out of bed yet. I believe he's quite a lazy guy.
What do you think towards his injury?
He's actually probably been in the gym for 7 hours though they're 5 hours behind.
Precisely.
What do I think of what?
What did you think of his withdrawal last week, just before we get stuck into the event?
I think it was a bit strange. But he shot 65 on Saturday, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I think he could... I haven't tipped him as it happens, but I was ever so close to picking
him. If he'd have shot 66 on Sunday rather than withdrawing...
What price would he have been?
He'd have won the event and
would he have won it? Would he have? 66 was what he needed to win, was it?
He'd have got to 900, wouldn't he, with the 66, so yeah.
It's hard to know, isn't it, Dave? It really is. He's come back from injuries before and then won the next time out, hasn't he? So it's just very hard to tell how bad the back was. I did read somewhere that Luke Guthrie, I think he was playing with, playing quite slow, and then maybe he was just a little bit of frustration got in, and I don't know how true that is. It's hard to know what actually happened.
It is indeed. So we'll see whether Tiger Woods takes up his engagement.
You haven't
this week.
Picked him either, then.
I've not picked him. In all honesty, the price of 14-1, when I picked him last year at 12-1 and he won the event, was tempting. But he looks to be completely out of sorts as far as his swing's concerned, in my opinion.
Completely. He shot 65 on Saturday, Dave. He's not playing as well as but I couldn't say he was completely out of sorts if you can score that on that track at Honda. It's not an easy course, and
you can't trust him to string them together, though,
no,
can you?
And I suppose you can't trust him to finish the event either, is one of the issues. If he doesn't start it, you get your money back, so that's one thing that people should remember. As long as he doesn't hit a ball, you'll get your money back. So he's non-runner, no bet.
He is, indeed.
The Cheltenham Festival. Yeah, 14s was tempting, but not tempting enough.
The biggest dilemma this week, Mike, as far as I see it, is whether to include course form when analysing the field, because Doral's Blue Monster has been completely remodified, hasn't it? Gil Hans has come in, and he's completely changed the venue. He's gone on the record as saying it's really a new golf course. A lot of the holes are in the same place as before. Every green, though, has been rebuilt. Every bunker has been moved and shifted. And the players are going to have to figure out how to put these new greens, which are bigger than ever before. The work that Hans has done to the venue is expected to make this much tougher for the players this week, which is something to definitely bear in mind, in my opinion, because scrambling and putting around here has generally, over the last decade, been easy. And this week, it might be a lot tougher.
Might be harder, yes. I think course form is still... worth considering. I've considered it. I know the holes have been redesigned, but the greens are staying as Bermuda, aren't they? So they haven't changed the type of grass.
No, they haven't.
And the course is still the same place, isn't it? So until there's evidence that proves otherwise, whilst you wouldn't be as strong on course form as you had been if they hadn't redesigned it, I think I've taken some account into course form, primarily because it's Florida, you know, it's players who play well there. So it is obviously something that is a bit of an unknown.
I've just got the two picks.
I've got three. So shall I go first?
You lead the charge here.
Ball striking was always a pretty important factor at Doral, I would say, Dave. So I see no reason to change that. I've gone for three players who are decent ball strikers. Guys who've got experience, both of the course, are playing at the top end. Because I think of the Orbar, Nick Watney, of the winners here, have been major champions. So I picked three major champions this week. It was a bit of a coincidence, but it was a stat that I saw, and after I'd picked my guys, I thought, oh yeah, that fits. And I have gone for experience of the course. I want people to have played here at least a couple of times. Whether that proves to be the case this time next year, we might be saying,
we'll
have a better idea. But based on the fact that I don't know that at this moment, I've gone on what looks to be the most sensible approach, which is to say that Bubba Watson is my headline pick, I think, in this event. I'm pretty close on all three picks, in truth. A runner-up here the year before, last top 20 last year. Lots of Florida roots, went to college in Florida. Plays well down there. And in absolutely tremendous form this year, with a win in the Northern Trust, second in Phoenix. He was third in Tiger's event at the back end of last year. Very importantly, he was ninth for ball striking on tour last year. He's top of that stat this year. Similarly, top tens for both greens in regulation this year and last. Scrambling really well this year. I think he's 12th or thereabouts on the scrambling stats. Just playing really well. And at 20-1, I think he's got a rock solid chance in this event.
20-1, Bubba Watson, your headline pick. Another good pointer with Bubba Watson is that a lot of people, from what I've read pre-tournament, suggesting that this might have a little bit of an Augusta feel to it now with the redesign of the greens, might make it more difficult scrambling, and it might really be a second shot on around the green golf course now. And,
yeah,
and obviously,
I think
Bubba Watson, Masters champ.
I really think second shots were always important here, more than off the tee. So yeah, that's why he interests me a lot. He's green. That's why I've quoted the stats I've quoted. Mm. I think I'm looking for guys who, yeah, exactly fit that criteria. I'm not as bothered as driving distance as some people might be.
Yeah, a lot of people think distance off the tee is a big factor.
It's that important here, personally.
Mm. I'm going with Ricky Fowler as my headline selection, mainly because of the price. Double the price he was last week, or more than double in some places. 66-1 here with William Hill. I really like this price. I think there was definitely an overreaction following his match play performance last week when he was down to around about 28-1. But I think it's gone the other way this week. He's definitely swinging the club a lot better, and he played well last week without ever really threatening. Finished 3 under par in the end, having shot par or better in every round last week. And he would have been closer to the lead had he putted a bit more accurately last week. Obviously, his stroke play form this season isn't anything to write home about, so statistically his stats don't read that well in the context of things, but he's definitely improving. His iron play is moving forward. There's actually a great piece about his iron play on the website golfwrx.com that's worth reading, which shows you his statistics are improving as the season progresses. I reckon 66-1 is definitely worth a few quid, considering he was 8th here in 2011 as well. So I think Ricky Fowler's got a good setup for this golf course. 66-1 will do me this week.
Fair dues. I am going for a man who let us down last weekend. Keegan Bradley is my second pick. He looked like he was getting in contention to have a go at the title when he got to about 8 or 9 under, didn't he, on Sunday night? And then the wheels came off somewhat with a 1-3 putt that was really bad on a par 3 that just seemed to knock his confidence away. And then after that, he was all over the place, played really poorly after that. But still managed to finish in the top 12. And he's in a very consistent run of form, albeit he isn't getting in to the top 10 very much. So
it's weird, he's getting in the mix but not getting in the mix.
Not completing the job, is he? Not at all. He's got a host of top 20s to his name in his last 10 outings or so, but not only one, I think, where he's actually finished in the top 10, you know. So hard to understand why that is for such a solid player, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I wouldn't have been anticipating backing Keegan Bradley this week at about 10 o'clock last Sunday night, if I'm being honest. Mm. He was on my naughty boy list. I think that's what I was calling it, the second word anyway. he however, did play well.
Yeah.
He is a very good ball striker. His stats on that are very good, top 20, top 30 every year. Good greens in regulation normally. Scrambling well this year, 6 for scrambling. And in his 2 outings on the course, has finished top 10, 8th and 7th in the last 2 years. So I'm going to give him another chance. I'm going to give Keegan a chance for redemption at 28th, I think he is.
Yeah, you're a much more forgiving man than I, because he was on the list but just missed out. Same price as last week, slightly stronger field this week. Ever so slightly.
Slightly, but yeah. Similar, less runners.
Yeah, less runners, that's a good point. Very good point indeed. Mm. Still betting a quarter of the first 5, but obviously a limited field this week. My second pick has been cut in the market, which is a bit frustrating from yesterday's price. 40s into 33s. Webb Simpson, I'm going with this week. Given that...
Well, we both backed him a few weeks ago. So you've forgiven him?
And Riviera, I've forgiven him, mainly because of the price. Yesterday he was 40-1. Mm. So 40-1 was double the price I tipped him at Riviera. Mm. And not much has changed since then, really. I thought he was definitely worth sticking with at double the price. I've had to stick with him at 33s. He got through a couple of rounds of the match play before running into a red-hot Louis Oosthuizen. Oosthuizen played maybe the best golf of anyone in that stretch of play, first 12 holes against Webb Simpson. Obviously, you were on Oosthuizen that week. He's a superb scrambler, Webb Simpson, so I'm hoping they've really toughened it up, especially in terms of the green redesign. And I think if scrambling's tough and it's putting's difficult, it's going to suit Webb Simpson, because he's superb scrambler, putter, second in the all around this season as well. I think the price is an overreaction to one poor performance at Riviera. When you consider he's more than twice the price of Dustin Johnson, more than twice the price of Sergio Garcia, I think Garcia might have been a pick this week had he been 25-1, but Webb Simpson's more prolific than Garcia on the PGA Tour, and he's over double the price. So I'm going with Webb Simpson at 33-1.
Fair call, that, Dave. Fair call. How long is it since Garcia won on the PGA Tour?
That's that. Now you are asking.
It just seems. I know he won Thailand and Qatar.
He won an event at the back end. Was it the Wyndham Championship? He won an event. The back end of 2000 and I want to say 2012.
Aren't you looking on Google as we speak? Here. It just seems a while.
Wyndham Championship, August 2012.
Yeah, so it's a good while, isn't it? 18 months, yeah. For a 16-1 shot? Yeah. Sergio's a great player and he has played well here.
Lot of people have latched onto his performance in the final round last week where He was incredible, and he still missed a dozen putts inside 15 feet, and he just hit the ball brilliantly. And he's got a good record.
Ability
here as well,
wise, as we've said before, he's right up there. But he is a man I've got to squiggle against these days. So good luck to him. I'm not saying he can't win. Absolutely, he could. Instead, though, I'm going for another European as my final pick. GMAC has made it onto my list.
Okay.
With two top tens and a 13th here in his last four outings, this is a man who has got decent course form. Again, didn't play very well in the Honda either, but had such a tough match play, didn't he? A lot of his games, well, all of his games went the distance, didn't they? He was comeback king, played brilliantly, and had been in really good form up till then. You know, he's sixth in Tigers event back in the last year, seventh at Pebble, top 20 in Dubai, a fifth in that match play. I think I said on last week's podcast I didn't fancy him last week because of the mental exertions of his
and he
week.
Was a lot he's a lot shorter last week,
he
wasn't
was,
he?
Yeah.
A heck of a lot shorter.
Yeah, whereas this week he's now back out to 40-1.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good each way price. Europeans do quite well at this event. It's about time one of them followed Justin Rose over the line. In fact, that was only 2 years ago. But, you know, it's not a bad event for Europeans, particularly so many of them live in Florida these days. Mm. So, you know, this is GMAC's part of the world.
It is. He's got the twang as well now, hasn't he?
He's got that mixed up.
Irish-American twang.
Transatlantic accent, hasn't he? Or mid-Atlantic. He's top 20 for greens in reg, 43rd for ball striking, top 25 for scrambling, those kind of stats that I was looking at this week. And I think it's a good each way price at 40s. I think he will be fresher this week and he could go very well.
Good stuff. What about what were your thoughts on McIlroy? 6-1 clear favourite, half the price of anyone else in the field.
Well, he's three top tens on the trot here, hasn't he? 6-1 was just a bit short for me given the quality of the field and the fact that he didn't finish last week. I wouldn't put anyone off him. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought 6-1 fair. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I've read a lot on Twitter saying, "Oh, is this taking ages to bounce?" It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if he came out this week and blitzed the field.
That doesn't bother me at all. I agree. To him. And to Tiger and to guys like that, the majors are the ones that matter. If they blow a chance in the majors, it might take them a while to get over. They're not going to worry about the Honda Classic for too long, are they?
No.
Played brilliantly for most of the week.
What about that shot on the 72nd hole as well,
exactly.
with the 5-wood?
He was immense. So he'll still have a very, very good year. And I'm still confident he's going to win a couple of majors this year.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
My thought on him. Tiger, we've talked about. I I really thought long and hard about picking a couple of old favourites this week, Dave. Bill Haas.
66ers.
It's a big price in a 69 run of field for a guy who is an absolutely brilliant ball striker and just maybe hasn't been playing quite well enough. And a guy that you picked the other week, but he's an old favourite of mine also, Gary Woodland.
Also 66.
Just only played here the once, which is the thing that's put me off. It also put me off Harris English. But we don't know whether that's a factor anymore. It's just you've got to weigh it up. And
I think Harris English was the closest to being a pick for me.
Yeah.
At 33-1, away from the two guys that I've actually gone for. He just looks, every single time I see him play at the moment, he looks like he's a superstar in waiting. He really does.
Yep.
That performance against McIlroy in the match play was immense. So he would be he'd probably be the man that I don't want to win this week, Harris English, at 33-1. A guy that I thought you might have gone for, especially if we are discussing the imponderables here, because we don't know how this golf course is going to play this year with Gil Hans's changes. But if it is more of a, if it turns into more of a tactical test, Jim Furyk.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, he was. Well, look, I've got four players that just missed out, and they're English, Furyk, Woodland, and Haas. So I was actually just going to mention him. But
saving Furyk for next week, Copperhead.
Yeah, well, he's played well here though before, Dave. You know, he has. I think he's got a place to his name.
He has. I think he finished third here.
Yeah,
didn't he
did. Yeah, so third in 2009, actually. And he just goes under the radar, doesn't he? And he plays well most weeks. So, yeah, it's really interesting. But English does look cracking, doesn't he? He looks a real, real prospect. I'd put him ahead of Jordan Spieth, maybe. What do you reckon?
If you'd have asked me this 2 months ago, I'd have said no. But now, watching English play, I think Spieth's still ahead of him for me at the moment. But okay.
I'm talking about for the future. He's won more than him, hasn't he? So I think
English has won more than Spieth.
Yes, he has.
English has got a couple of wins, and Spieth just got
one.
So,
well, he's ahead then.
He is ahead then.
Those guys.
You wouldn't mind a portion of either man's future earnings, would you?
They look real, real good players for the future. Yeah, I'm still think Gary Woodland's going to feature. He just needs to. He could have a good week this week.
What about the Puerto Rico Open then? Chris Stroud 18-1, Brian Stewart 20-1, George McNeil 20s, Matt Jones 20-1, Brooks Koepka is 25s, David Hearn and Sung Yul Noh both 28s, and it's 33s and bigger the rest. I must admit, I've not had the sort of luck you've had at this golf event, but again, it's another Trump international golf course, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Played at the double, so, yeah.
Yeah, he always has the double this week, Donald Trump. Let's hope you can get the double up as well. Mr. Crennan.
Indeed. Jordan Spieth was second in this last year, wasn't he?
Was he really?
Yeah, he was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, got beaten a shot by Scott Brown. I've had a couple of little bets just for a bit of interest, players that I like. Andres Romero has a runner-up, sixth here last year. And was 12th at the Honda, so just might be coming into form at the right time. Was 20th here the year before, 6th last year, not runner-up, 6th. And I just think at 33-1 or thereabouts, he's worth a little half point each way. But he's better than most of these.
He can spontaneously combust.
Yeah,
can't
I like his chance in this. Moving down, you know, towards South America, it's more his kind of he'd be comfortable on the course, all that kind of stuff. The reason I mentioned runner-up is that Ryo Ishikawa was second here the year before last,
right.
And I think he's also worth an interest. At what price is Ryo?
They're both 33s.
Yeah, I think he's been cut. Ryo, he was, I think he may have been 40s.
Yeah,
was in cracking form at the start of the year, but has missed his three last cuts. And it was horrendous through the week, but. He's top 25 on birdie average. I've got to believe that's a big price for him in this field with the quality he has. Only going small, but half a point each way on both of those lads.
As far as your staking plans concerned in the Cadillac, I'm going to point each way Ricky Fowler at 66ers and a point each way Webb Simpson at 33s. He was 40s. I can't claim that now.
I'll go a point each way on all of them. Bubba, Keegan, GMAT.
Have we got a free lunch bet in there anywhere?
Well, you won last week, didn't you?
Yeah, it was embarrassing, wasn't it?
In embarrassing circumstances. Both our players missed the cut. And you, y'all had birded the last Hansen to beat, who was it?
Billy Horschel.
Billy Horschel.
Yeah. Plus 5 and plus 6.
That's how it was, one of the, well,
Peter Hansen, I was always scrolling, I'm sure all golf punters do this, you're always scrolling through the leaderboard day by day by day. 3 under 5, Peter Hansen, checked in an hour later, couldn't see his name. I thought he'd withdrawn. I had to go that far down.
Yeah.
But yeah, a little bit embarrassing. But
there's
I am one up, wasn't there?
There was a lot of that going.
It's a difficult golf course. It's a tough test. It's a good golf course.
Yes, it is. It is. I don't know. I'll take you on
Webb Simpson versus Keegan Bradley.
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go for that. Yeah.
Who's the player you don't want to win this week, Mike?
Oh. Gary Woodland would be probably have been closest, I think, or him or Bill Haas.
I'm going with definitely Harris English as my guy.
I just thought unproven on this event, on this course day, maybe 33s was short enough.
I don't think course form's going to matter.
Not at all.
I think
when we're sitting here next week, we'll say that it mattered a little bit. Whether it mattered as much, it is a course, horses for courses place, isn't it?
It has been generally.
And I'll take your point to a degree that I don't expect it to be as important this year. But I'll be surprised if we're not looking at good Florida players who play well in Florida, who played well at the course before. Mm. I think it'll be a preponderance of those rather than novices. That's my gut feeling.
We'll see. Your bets for the WGC Cadillac Championship must be on by 2:30 on Thursday and 11 o'clock on Thursday morning for the Puerto Rico Open. Obviously, betting player here with William Hill throughout. You can follow us on Twitter as well, at mgrenham and at dkellner. And might have a little look at the Puerto Rico Open at some point as well.
Yeah, you might do a little Twitter bet.
Might do a little Twitter bet.
Your last Twitter bet predates Twitter.
All the coverage will be of the Cadillac, I presume, this week, though.
Yeah, there's no coverage at all of the in Europe, anyway, of the Puerto Rico Open. But I think we've got a fantastic event on our hands at Doral, which is always a great course. It'd be just interesting to see what the changes are like, won't it?
It will indeed. Make sure you do follow us on Twitter. And obviously no decision yet made on Tiger Woods' participation. That will be made within the forthcoming hours.
That will be made about a minute after you publish and probably will pull out.
That's what I'm saying now. Yeah. It will. It's sod's law, isn't it? Last week... It's happened the last couple of weeks. I've mentioned someone on the podcast and then they've pulled out
within
5 minutes
hour.
Later.
Yeah.
So, sod's law, Tiger Woods' decision will be made, and my gut feeling is he'll play this week.
Yeah, I think he'll play. Yeah. I think he'll play. I think he'll go quite well, to be honest. He might even win.
By the time you listen to this, he will have pulled out of the tournament. But, as eggs are eggs.
Isn't it an exciting time of the year, Dave? This is a great event this week, and we're on the run-up to the Masters and everything else. It's really getting going, I can't wait for the Masters.
Can't wait for the Masters. Yeah. Looking forward to that in a few weeks' time. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast this week, and make sure you are back with us for next week's Golf Podcast. We'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.